privilege of standing and preaching your word. We ask now that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. Bless your word and bless your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And for a few minutes, I'm just going to talk from the subject, the promise of his presence. The promise of his presence. Let me begin by saying that today we gather on the third day of the new president of the United States. As marches and protests go on all over the U.S. and around the world because of the fear and uncertainty concerning our new president. But Reverend Coleman, I'm reminded no matter who the president is, God is still on the throne.
That's right, sir.
And nothing can happen unless he allows it.
That's right.
And that's why my hope is not in the president, but in the Lord who made the heavens and the earth and everything therein. I'm talking about the one who has all power in heaven and earth in his hands. The one who promised never to leave us nor forsake us is with us. And we can stand with confidence and with full assurances on his promises. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Titus 1:2 that we serve a God who cannot lie. Meaning it's not just he won't lie, but he cannot lie because he is truth without hypocrisy. And so this morning with your prayers, I want to talk from that subject, the promise of his presence. Because throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have the promise of God's presence in good times as well as bad times. For instance, in Jeremiah 1:8, when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations and to announce both salvation and judgment, right away, young Jeremiah revealed to God his fears of being inadequate because of his youth. But God told Jeremiah, "Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you." When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, who were a precursor of the church, in Matthew 28:20, Jesus told them, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then in the book of Acts in the city of Corinth, where Paul was criticized and his gospel message was rejected, the Bible says, according to Acts 18:9-10, that the Lord appeared to Paul in a night vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid. Keep on preaching, for I am with you." And my brothers and sisters, here we see that God's promised presence is what enables the church and you and me personally to persevere and hold on in the midst of troubled times. But now we can't see the Lord with our natural eye because God is spirit. And that's why the Bible says in both the Old and the New Testament that the just shall live by faith. Why is this? Because the Bible also says, according to Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." And while perhaps somebody here this morning, or perhaps somebody listening by way of radio, maybe you're going through a facing some type of crisis, and perhaps you may feel that you are all alone and you need to be assured of God's presence. Well, a friend of mine, although you won't be able to see him with the natural eye, but you can be assured of his presence through the eye of faith, that he's right there with you. Because if you're saved, if you've been born again, he's with you in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells every born-again believer in Christ. And that's why the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." But still, many times, family and friends and others can't seem to understand that. In spite of the struggles you're going through, you want to do better, but for some reason, you don't have the strength to do so. But my brothers and sisters, God's promised presence says to you and to me that my grace is sufficient for you. For my grace is made perfect in human weakness. In other words, God's presence, his love, his power, and his blessings are sufficient to help us endure any trial or tribulation that may come into our lives. But now the reason we need to be constantly assured of God's promised presence is because in life, as I always say, we are either heading toward a storm, we are in a storm, or we are coming out of a storm. Because you see, life is not always filled with mountaintop experiences. And so we need to know that without a shadow of a doubt that when we are going through the hardships of life as well as the good times in life, that the Lord who promised never to leave us nor forsake us is right there with us all the time. And so in the text, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "I will fear no evil." He said, "For you are with me." Now here we see that the psalmist is assured of God's presence even in the face of death. Because death casts a frightening shadow over us and we are entirely helpless in his presence. Why? Because no amount of strength or courage can overcome death, but still death doesn't have the final say. Because we have someone to lead us and walk with us through the dark, death dark valley, who is able to safely bring us through to the other side. And so as we consider our immediate text with our focus on verse number 4, we note that Psalm 23 is known as the shepherd's psalm because it's likened God to a shepherd who guides and supports his flock through the many ups and downs that we face in life. Meaning this psalm reveals to us the many ways that God shows his loving kindness to his children, even in the worst of circumstances. And so if you note, if you will, that Psalm 23 reveals to us that there is a progression in life that is shown in the text as a pre-valley experience in verse 1 through 3, the valley experience in verse 4, and the post-valley benefits and blessings in verse 5 and 6. And so let us consider first of all the pre-valley experiences of life in verse 1 through 3. And I note, if you will, that the psalmist began by saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now here we have in these verses the many ways that God shows his loving kindness and protecting power to those who need him as he leads them. Because in the first three verses, God is pictured as a loving shepherd and a caring host. Who at the beginning, the sheep looked to the shepherd for leadership, guidance, and protection. But my brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to cry out that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want in our pre-valley experiences when life is paying dividends and everything is going our way. In other words, it's easy for us to praise God when we are in a mountaintop experience and the sun, so to speak, is shining in and on our lives. Because the green pastures of the text pictures the comfort and blessings we experience as we go through life when all is well. The still waters is a picture of peace and serenity when everything is going our way and we seem to be living above trouble and adversity. But my brothers and sisters, we need to know that we cannot stay on the mountaintop all the time, rest on past mountaintop experiences, because remember the text reveals that there is a progression in this psalm as well as in life, meaning we got to move on in life in order to have some new mountaintop experiences. But to do so, we don't just jump or leap from mountain to mountain, but we got to go down in the valley, because between every mountain there is a valley. In other words, we got to move from our pre-valley experiences of verse 1 through 3 to our valley experiences of verse number 4. But now notice, if you will, that the valley experience in the text, as well as in life, is a whole lot different from the pre-valley experience of comfort and blessing, serenity and peace. Because in the valley, there is danger. In the valley, death lurks. But note, if you will, that the psalmist still expresses confidence in God's promised presence in spite of the dangers that lurks in the valley. Note he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is this? Because even in the face of death itself, the psalmist was assured of God's presence. Now, I believe that the other reason for David not fearing was because he knew that a shadow doesn't have substance. It is only a reflection from a light. Because you cannot have a shadow in the dark. You must have some light in order to cast a shadow. So there has to be some light somewhere. And since God is light, I believe that's why David got personal when he said, I'm not afraid because you are with me. My brothers and sisters, when the storms of life are raging and you can't seem to see your way out, perhaps God is saying to somebody here this morning, fear not, for I am with you. Because many times on life's journey, one minute it seems as if everything is going our way. It may seem that if as if the sun is shining bright in and on our lives. And perhaps there's no sign of trouble or hard times on the horizon. But my brothers and sisters, like a tornado without warning, life can turn sour on you and your way can become dark and dreary. But the good news is that even in the midst of a storm, God promises to be right there with us to help us to endure and persevere in spite of our circumstances. And so the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff are symbols of divine protection as we move through the dark valleys of life. In other words, in this verse, the psalmist David actually affirms God's tender presence during some of the most difficult and painful events in his life. But let me say to us this morning before we get the wrong understanding of the text, and that is, God isn't revealed here so much as one who changes bad times, but he is revealed here as one who will remain with his children throughout the bad times in order to strengthen and give us courage to hold on and trust in his mighty power. No wonder the psalmist says again in Psalm 46 and 1, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Yes, but note, if you will, that there is still a continued progression in the text as we make our way to the final movement of the text, and that is the post-valley benefits and blessings of verse 5 and 6. Note, if you will, that because the psalmist understood the progression in life, he knew that his pre-valley experience of verse 1 through 3 and the valley experience of verse 4 was only getting him ready for post-valley benefits and blessings. Because note, the psalmist declared right after the valley experiences in verse 5 and 6, he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, David is saying, in essence, Lord, while my enemies were celebrating and thinking that they had overwhelmed me and that I was down never to rise again, he said, Lord, you brought me through the dark valleys of the shadows of death, and right before their eyes, you treated me as an honored guest. And you prepared a feast for me right in their presence. And then you filled my cup of blessing until it overflowed. And that's why I know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as I try to move to the close, I hear the hymn knowledge declare through many dangerous toils and snares. You see, I have already come, but it was grace that brought me thus far, and grace will lead me on. Because in this life down here below, I need to tell us that we are constantly faced with many ups and downs, troubles and trials. But the text reveals that through them all, we have the promise, God's promised presence, and whatever may come our way. Because the God who changes not, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I hear him sing, I am with you. And that's why the Lord says in his word, he said, when you pass through the waters of adversity, he said, I am with you. Through the rivers of circumstances, they will not overflow you because I am with you. And when you pass through the fiery trials of life, you shall not be burned, nor shall you be scorched by the flame, because I am with you. And when trouble rise and friends turn their back on you, don't worry, for I am with you. When sickness comes, I am with you. And even when you walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, the Lord says, for I am with you. Is there anybody here who know that the Lord is able? Ain't God all right? Is there anybody here who tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? I don't know about you, but the Lord is my life and my salvation. And whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and they fail. Though an host shall encamp against me, in this will I be confident, because all my help, I said all my help, it come from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth, the world and they that dwell therein. I'm talking about Jesus, the bishop of my soul. Jesus, the author of my salvation. He's right there by my side. And he promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Yeah, Lord, that's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, it said on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? So David declared, he said, yea, Though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil because you are right there with me. Yeah, Lord. Oh, I don't know about you, but he walk with me and he talk with me and he tell me that I am his own. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? Ain't God all right? I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied every groan. And long as I live, while trouble rise, I'll just haste unto his throne. Ain't God all right? Yes, yes, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. Yes, he's all right. He's all right. Don't worry about who the president is. Don't worry who nobody is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left slip while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend I know in need. Not another minute, Lord. Can't wait another day, Lord.